Hey, hey, this is Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreat. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat Day 2. Today we are talking about aligning and asking for the abundance. We're going to be addressing God baggage, all of that stuff. It's really a powerful session. And before we start, I want to answer a question that came in that is very, sure, very important to address. One second. Wow. Okay. Somebody sent in, today I learned that I need to fill myself up so I am completely independent and I don't need my husband anymore. That is not what we said, right? Let's just pause for a second. That's not the point. The point isn't so that you can take responsibility for your own happiness and then be like, yes, I figured out how to fill myself up. I figured out how to take care of myself. I don't need anyone else to fill me up. Stop there. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. We're actually talking about when I learn to fill myself up, when I learn to give myself permission to enjoy the things that I like, then automatically I open up to allow others to fill me up. I allow others to give me, and I learn to receive, right? And step one is learn to receive from yourself. A lot of you in the WhatsApp group were saying, these are the things that make me happy. These are the things, this is my list. And I said, great, but that wasn't the homework. Homework was pick one thing from your list and do it. That's a very different thing, because the point of the exercise was to push you out of your limits. We are so limited in how much we allow ourselves to enjoy. How many people here still have art supplies that are perfectly in their box because it just feels so good to look at perfect art supplies? I am so guilty of this, but the reason is because we don't think we're worthy of using it. It's still too perfect, right? There's like this weird existence, right? We had someone in the program who said she had her dolls still in the box the whole time she was a child because she didn't want to touch them and mess them up and ruin them. When her husband gave her chocolate, she keeps the chocolate in the wrapper. And so her homework was go enjoy the wrapper, the chocolate, not the wrapper. You don't enjoy wrappers. Go enjoy the chocolate, right? Go enjoy the thing that you say you enjoy. And that was the homework. So some of you were really great. You looked at your list. You're like, well, I'm not going to go out with friends today, but I could at least eat my favorite chocolate, or I can at least sit down and journal, or, you know, turn on music and have some fun. But I really want you to understand the concept that we spoke about yesterday wasn't just this superficial thing about, oh, I need to learn to be happy. I need to learn to figure out what makes me happy. Oh, all these things. It's deeper than that. It's when I give myself permission to enjoy life, to be happy, then I will open up to allow others to make me happy. I will be able to receive. And that is a feminine superpower. Okay, receiving is a feminine superpower. Somebody here said in our little breakout room, there's three in a marriage. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about God. Okay, the calm method, and I'm going to repeat this in case somebody wasn't here, didn't, I don't know, whatever. The calm method is made of four steps, right? Step one is connect to yourself. What do I really want? Step two is ask for abundance. You turn to God. Now that you know what you want, you turn to God. Now, Some people say, why do I need step one? I just turn to God for everything. That's great. Okay. I'm not going to say that's not good. It's a wonderful thing to turn to God. And it has a different energy when you do the prerequisite work than when you just come straight off. Okay. So when you don't do step one, you sound something like this. Oh God, I can't anymore. I don't know what to do. I just don't want this. And I don't know what I want. Right. Okay. Sounds familiar? I recognize it. I know that that's the energy I'm in when I'm turning to God from a place of despair. I just don't know what I want. I just don't want this, right? When I ask people, so what do you want? They tell me, I just don't want what is, right? Like, I don't want to be disrespected. I don't want to be like not cared for. I don't want my husband to. The list goes on and on. And in reality, when I know what I want, now I'm coming to God and I'm saying, God, I want a good marriage. I want to feel connected. I want to have someone to talk to. I want to feel like I'm not alone. I want to feel like part of a team, right? Oh, I'm a lot more put together. I'm so focused on what I want. And now I get to have a real relationship, okay? This reminds me of I was in a class with the Revitzen Rhonda Attar. She's Rebbe Attar's wife. She's amazing. And she called it God baggage. And I think she gave credit to Rabbi David Aaron, who called it that. I'm not sure, but I love the analogy that comes up for me, right? Like, you're going through life and you want to love God, but there's just so much weight that comes with it, right? We believe that God is harsh, mean, scary, demanding, heavy, right? There's all these things that come with, it's just what comes up, right? We have a lot of different beliefs about God. And if this is making you stressed out, then it's not true. I have a friend, colleague, Hannah Mason, who says your body is a lie detector test. Do you know how lie detector tests work? They measure the things in your body that show stress, right? Your eyes, if they're dilated or not, your heartbeat, your muscles, your sweat, whatever, the things that show up when you're stressed. So when there's a lie, you're going to find out right away because you're going to feel it. You just have to get in touch with your body. When it's truth, there is peace. So all the beliefs that we have about God, they're probably not true if they feel heavy, if they feel icky. And really all God wants is for you to be happy. And the most important thing to remember is that God put you here for one reason, so he can have a relationship with you. That's all it is. God didn't put doubles, right? There isn't like no reason. You're not like an extra in a show, like, oh, everyone else is fan, they have a good job or a good thing, but I'm just playing the extra. It doesn't work like that. You're here on purpose. You're here on purpose, and you get to be intentional about your relationship. The purpose is so that God can have a relationship with you and you can have a relationship with God. Now, I see it. I'm very into visuals because I'm just a visual person. So this might help you if you're visual too. I always think of this as a submarine. And if you guys grew up the same time I did, or maybe you saw the same shows I did, you'll get this, right? There's like a submarine and there's a periscope coming up and it goes, and then it looks at you and blinks. Yeah, that's what I think of life as. We're going around life looking for answers with our little periscope. And we're like, is it here? Is it there? let's say I need a job, right? So it's like, I sent a resume. I spoke to this person. I looked at all the advertisements. I'm talking to everyone I know and I'm not getting a job. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking. And really all you have to do is click, let it all flow. If I look up at the right direction, I am finally connecting and the abundance can finally flow. As long as I am going like this, side to side, periscoping, I'm not going to get anywhere. That's not where the answers are. That's not where the abundance is. And this is really important for all of us who are going, I'm waiting for my husband to make money. You know, there's no stability. I just don't feel like, right? Like, it has nothing to do with him. He's on the side. He is just like you, part of the play. The abundance is coming from up on top, from that connection with God. If you can just turn and click in, everything's going to change. And it's so fast, right? There's a saying, Yeshuat Hashem Keherif Ein, the redemption comes in the blink of an eye. That's when I think of when I see the little periscope blinking, right? Like, boom. All you have to do is just remember, just turn. And now you're finally turning in the right direction. Because God is the source of everything. And God is the creator. So he has creative solutions. And he's limitless. He's not sitting around counting how much he can budget for you. He has everything. He has everywhere. He has all of it. And he is the one who wants to give it to you. That's why he made you in this world, so that he can pour into you. It's very lonely being God. Like, it's just like, he created this world because he wanted to give and he wanted relationship and he wanted to have that connection. And so all we need to do is click into that, okay? That's where the abundance comes in. And we're talking abundance, not just money. Right? I went to a class recently where she said, notice the abundance in your life that isn't monetary. And so the next morning I went for my walk. I started counting all the things that I am abundant in. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm abundant in air. I'm abundant in the ability to breathe. Like, you start feeling different when you realize I'm abundant in children. Like, I never thought of that. Right? I mean, I know it in my head. I know it, but I never felt it. The amount of goodness. We have abundance of food. There is never a lack in anything, right? In your head, maybe you're sitting there budgeting. You're thinking, should I buy this? Should I not? But in reality, do you see how much food there is? Do you see how much free clothing there is in the stores? And like everything, there's so much. So all we have to do is turn up. And when my grandmother, who was 85 at the time, she fell and broke her hip, and I wanted to really help. I wanted to connect to her. I wanted to be there for her, right? So I said, how can I help you? And she's like, no, don't worry. You have your own issues. You have children. You are busy. You don't have to come help me. It's fine. I'll take care of everything. I'm like, no, but I want to connect. Like, I don't care if you have everything taken care of. I want to be here for you. It's like, no, it's okay. I don't want to bother you. You're too busy, right? She's assuming I'm too busy. She's assuming that she's bothering me. Does this create connection? Everyone go, no. It does not create connection. When you reject someone's giving, what you're doing is no thanks. We don't think of it that way, but it's exactly what we're doing. It's like, God, you're too busy. You have so many things on your mind. I mean, there's an entire world to run. You're going to care about my button? You're going to care about the fact that my computer broke? You're going to care about who knows what, like the things that don't matter. Of course they matter. They matter to you and they matter to him. And he's going to take care of it if you just turn to him and ask. You know why? Because that's why they broke in the first place. God is getting us to turn to him. So he knocks on, he knocks a little and you're like, oh yeah, I got to connect. But if you don't connect, then you know what happens? He knocks a little louder and he's waiting for us to turn up. And what do? We're like, oh, my computer broke. I need to talk to this guy. I need to send it to the thing. I need to figure out, I don't know how I'm going to get money for a new one. And where am I going to go? And what am I going to do? We're sitting here playing this dumb Periscope game when in reality, we're wasting our time. All we need to do is turn up and say, God, I have no idea what you want, but turns out I need a computer, right? I don't know how to fix it. I don't know who the right person is. I don't know where to turn, but I'm sure you do. So can you just guide me? Can you show me? And there is the magic where you open yourself up to hearing his guidance, where you are ready to have this relationship, where you are attentive to what's actually going on. So far, so good. Yep. You have your workbooks. Let's open page 2. What does it mean to get in touch with your body? If you can take a deep breath, put your hands in your heart, and just feel, where do I feel the stress? What am I feeling? How do I feel? Give it a name. What's going on inside me? You're going to be getting better and better at this. This is a skill that isn't very, how should we call it? Isn't practiced enough? And then when we do, we can get so much information from our body because our body is actually here to help us in this journey, not here to fight us. So when we work together, it works really well. That's what I'm talking about when I say get in touch with your body. Your body is going to tell you. If there is something that's causing you stress, you're going to know. And then you get to question it and be like, is that even true? I mean, I have so much evidence that it is true, but maybe it's not 100% true. Maybe I can switch it around. And tomorrow we're going to talk about that a lot. But today I want you to open up your workbook, page 2. We're in day 2. We're talking about prayer. I bet you didn't expect that. Just kidding. Okay. So great. We are going to be writing a prayer. A prayer like a landing page or an advertisement or any other thing has a structure, right? We are always learning about, instead of redesigning the wheel every single time, what you can do is use structures that already exist. So somebody is going to say, if you want to sell something, first you have to say, oh, the pain points, and then you're going to talk about the result, and they're going to say, I am that bridge between pain point and result, okay? That's a structure. There's a structure to prayer, and it's made up of 3 parts, praise, request, and thanksgiving. In Hebrew, shevach, bakasha, hodaya. Shevach, praise, is when you get really clear on who you're talking to. Because if you don't know who you're talking to, then what's the point, right? If I go to the homeless guy and I say, hey, listen, I really need a job. I need money. I need a job. Can you help me? He look at you like, seriously? I don't have it. How can I help you? How can I give it to you? You turn to God and you're like, God, I really need whatever it is you need. He's got it, right? So first, put yourself in the right mind space. Yes, mind space. And realize who you're talking to. Right? That's praise. You are the king of the world. You are the only one who can help me. I am turning to you because you are limitless. I don't care how long or how short praise section is, but it's for you to get grounded in what we're doing. We are creating a prayer, and this is step 1. Step two is request. This is where you get to ask for whatever you want. And it could be big things, and it could be small things, and it could be anything. I once spoke to someone in the park and she said, my husband learns Torah all day long and he barely makes any money. And I try really hard and blah, blah, blah. And I could never pray for a house because I know it's impossible, right? Like it's not even imaginable that a couple like us would ever own a house. So I can't even pray for it. I'm like, you think God has a problem giving you a house? And she's like, I don't think God has a problem. I just don't think that. But I'm like, no, 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 no. Come on. God is limitless. He is so cool. The creator of all things. He can figure this out. Okay? So you can ask for big things that you think are too big to ask for. You can also ask for the little things like, yeah, really? You think God really cares about my iPhone? You think God really cares that I don't have, I don't know, the right shoes for the party, whatever. Yes, God cares. Okay. So I'm giving you two extremes because it's really important for you to see God can give you anything and you are allowed to ask for anything. Now, here's the cool thing. You can ask for material things and you can ask for intangible things, right? I want to be happy. I want to be more alive. I want to feel more vibrant, whatever comes up for you. Okay. So the sky's the limit. Go for it. Step three, Thanksgiving. After you ask, it's always nice to say thank you at the end, right? It's the thing that wraps it up. And you can thank for anything. Sorry about this. Very dry. You can thank for anything. Now, there was a question, can you pray or write your prayer in any language? Yes. Write any language that you can connect to. God understands all languages. Surprise, right? Very surprising. Just kidding. God can understand all languages and you are building a relationship with God. So go for it. Okay? So we said, praise is more for you, right? It's more for you to understand. You're the king of the world. You are limitless. Understand who you're standing in front of. You're the only one who can help me. And by the way, when you request anything, the only three answers that God gives are yes, not now, and I have something better for you. Write that down. Yes, not now, and I have something better for you. Now, when we request, the thing that's in our way of requesting is sometimes fear of failure, like disappointment. Ah, what if I don't get it? Sometimes it's fear of success. What if I get it? Like, what if I ask and I actually get it? I had someone who said, if I join your program, I am committing to staying married and I don't even know if I want to, right? I know it's going to succeed and I'm afraid it will succeed. Like you're actually going to make it work. When you pray to God, you're like, oh, you know, help me this, help me that. And you're like, what if it actually happens? Right? It's very scary. That's a resistance that we have, by the way. We're so scared. We're scared to ask. And by the way, we're afraid of everything. We're like, we're so cute. Make sure that when you request, you get really specific because saying things like, God, I want abundance wasn't working for me for a very long time. I just didn't feel like it was moving me forward. And then one day I was standing in prayer and I like smashed my hand on the stender on like the little table thing. And I said, okay, God, I haven't been fair. I've been asking for abundance for a very long time, but I think I wasn't being specific. I want to reach six figures. Can you help me reach six figures? Show me what to do. Show me who to follow. Show me what to take action on. I am ready. And that was 2 years ago. Okay. That day, somebody sent me a message, told me about some retreat, online virtual retreat that I should join. She showed how to do virtual retreats. I signed up for her program. I did her entire thing. I love it. I'm sitting here doing a virtual retreat thanks to her. And this is my eighth one. And it brings me so much joy, right? Besides the fact that, you know, on day four, you'll hear about my program, but it's not about the program. It's really about how much I get to serve and how much I get to shine thanks to that prayer, where I was just like, stop with the fuzzy stuff. Get specific. Because as we said, God is really capable. I remember one time, oh, this is totally off script. And I've been going off script all retreat. You guys will probably love this because you get all the good stuff. We were looking for an apartment and we had to move like the next week. And I was so helpless. Like, really, you just don't know anymore. Jerusalem that year had no apartments available. It was the worst. And we had just made Aliyah. We just moved here. We had to move again. And I was like, oh, and I was working. And so I just went to the kitchen at my job. There was like a little kitchenette. I closed the door and I just said, God, I want an apartment with a balcony. Okay. Like, I'm going to be specific. I'm going to tell you exactly what I want. And I'm like, thank you. Bye. And I opened it back up. I go back to my thing. 20 minutes later, my husband calls me and says, so I'm looking at an apartment with two balconies. Like, okay, so take it. I didn't see the apartment. I did not know a thing about it. I just knew that, oh, I just needed to get specific. And then God gave me double what I asked for. That was really cool. Okay, so get specific. Let's take a couple of minutes to write because I actually do want you to get to do it. I hate giving you homework because I know that myself, if I'm given homework, it's like, yeah, one day it will be done. Not this century. Let's see if I'm missing anything. When we're thanking, by the way, okay. And thanks, right? The Thanksgiving, the third part. You can thank you for being God. Thank you for being my God. Thank you that I have you, right? Basic. Thank you for being the address for me to go and ask for things, right? I know who to turn to. Thank you for preparing me for this moment. Thank you for this challenge because I know for sure something is coming next, right? Like, we're never in a challenge forever. It always is for something. One time I heard, where you are now is preparing you for where you need to be, which means that where you are now has been prepared by where you were. And I think that's just, you know, brilliant, because if you could look back and see how all the things that you've gone through prepared you for this moment, you can also see how everything you're going through now is taking you to where you need to be. So it's pretty awesome. I once had a teacher who said, every day, every one of you should say, this is high school, I think it was 11th grade, everyone should say, I love you, God. And if you don't love God, you say, I want to love you, God. And if you don't want to love God, well, then you say, I want to love you. And if you don't want to, then you say, I want to love you. And she went on and she said, it doesn't matter how far you are. If you have the want, if you're ready to have a relationship, you will get it. Because that's what it's all about. And God will guide you to it. Okay. So I'm going to stop talking. Very hard for me to do. Just kidding. I can do it. And you guys are going to sit down and write for the next 10 minutes. I'm not putting on music. I'm not putting a timer. I'm just muting myself and letting you do it. And I'm also going to do it with you because this is one of my favorite exercises. It's amazing. Okay, so let's just take a deep breath, ground yourself, Allow yourself to open up and go deep. Okay? Okay, start to close it up. Don't forget to think. So happy to hear that. Someone said in the chat, I just love doing this. I took such a good breath after I wrote it all down. There's something really powerful about being able to write, because you're forced to finish your sentence. Okay, we're going to wrap it up because we have 2 minutes left to the hour. If you want to continue, you're welcome to. This is an amazing exercise. If God is guiding life and the perfect plan, then does my prayer change anything, or is it just for me to connect? That's a beautiful question. I think it's both. It's here for you to connect, and I think that some people just get stuck with not asking and then they miss out. So it does change things because it's a choice, right? It's the only thing we can control is our will. And if you don't want to live, then you don't get to live. If you don't want to succeed, you don't get to succeed. So there's something really powerful about being able to connect to your will and aligning it with God's will. Right? And that's what we're talking about when we say the calm method. There is the connect to myself. I know what I want, but now I turn to God and I say, if my will lines up with your will, then show me, guide me. And if it doesn't align with my will, if what I want isn't right for me, if something isn't lining up, then show me also, right? Because God will say, I have something better for you. Let me show you that. Let me guide you. So either way, you're going to get guidance. Okay. It's really powerful. Another question. I think your next workshop has to be with couples. An open-minded husband helps too. Yes, I get a lot of this. I'll tell you the truth. A lot of men like to show up and hide behind their wives, or they don't have their videos on or whatever. But I still believe that my calling is to work with women, specifically the wives that are the powerful ones, because it's amazing when we get out of our own way and we allow ourselves to open up to the abundance, how much easier it is for the husbands to then pour into us. And it's something I had to learn. So this is what I teach. Awesome. I love you guys. So sweet in the comments. I love it. Mwah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This is amazing. Tomorrow, we spoke about connecting to myself. We spoke about connecting to God. Tomorrow, we are connecting to our husband. We're going to be talking about listening to the answer. That's what the L stands for. We're going to get really, it's a really packed class tomorrow. Okay. So get ready. I'm excited. I redesigned day 3 so many times until I finally figured out what I want to, you know, how to make it come alive. So I'm excited about this. Obviously, it's the reason why we're all here. Because when you sign up for a marriage retreat, you're like, why is she talking about getting in touch with myself? But you see why it's building up, right? So we're going to get there. You're amazing. Thank you. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Okay. Love you all. It's me again, Rebbetzin Bapren Grossman. And I wanted to make sure that you loved it. If you want to go deeper and actually come live to the sessions of the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, please visit connectedforreal.com/retreat. As part of the retreat, you get to meet one-on-one with me on an implementation call. And you have access to that link when you sign up. Make sure you download the workbook. You have also access to the WhatsApp group and a bunch of other bonuses. So go and enjoy. ConnectedForReal.com/retreat.